It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, we are here in the in this reality. Once again, in the reality we don't want to be in.
No, I can't. I have no words. I feel like just compression. Like I just feel like doom is what I feel. Cloud of doom.
You know,
heart pressure. That's all I'm feeling right now.
You know, it's crazy because I can't even agree that we don't want to be here right now because we clearly, overwhelmingly want to be here right now. Most of New York wants to be here right now, which shocks me.
Half of New York.
Dude, the percentage was crazy.
What's the percentage? Over 50?
Well, no, it can't be.
No, but
Harris won New York.
It was like 51 to like 49 or 48 or something. It was crazy.
But yeah, but that's like,
Trump is from New York.
Yeah.
He did horrible the last two times.
50-50 New York City, right? 50-50 New York City. And then...
No.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. I don't know if it was exactly 50-50, but they like...
No, it was 51. It was like 51-49 or something.
That's New York City. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was close. New York was
wild.
It was scary.
Staten Island was messing up. And then Brooklyn was like, there's a lot of purple in Queens, but Brooklyn was like, hey,
I was actually curious what movie we did after.
Oh, God. What this
2016? I remember
we did this.
So November 3rd, we did Birth of a Nation.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow.
So that was before. So we did Birth of a Nation before. Right. And then What's Love got to Do with It with Romney Malco came out. Technically, that came out after the election.
But we had recorded it before
because I remember we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, I think, pretty positive because, of course, we had no idea.
Trump was a full-on joke. In the sense of the word, in the true sense of the word, joke. Like we were like, we thought this was a clown. This wasn't going to happen. Like, blah, blah, blah. No one's serious about this. Like, that's what everyone, that was what everyone on our side thought,
And then
totally different.
And then I guess Space Jam was probably the first one we recorded after.
Wow. What were we doing? We were just trying to deflect.
This is denial.
What did we do after January 6th? That's what I want to know. What did we do? What movie did we decide to do after January 6th? Because this is a very January 6th movie. This movie is like...
This is January 6th.
Did we do the other one? Did we do Olympus Has Fallen? That would make sense to me. No.
There are new movies coming out, so...
Wait, let me look that one up. Olympus Has
Fallen. Cats, I don't know if we recorded Cats before January 6th, but that came out January 13th. Oh, wait, no. Hold on. That's wrong, because it's 2021. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was January 11th.
R.I.P. Chad.
And Soul.
Okay, all right.
Oh, there's a bunch of these Olympus movies.
All right, okay, all right. Business as usual. We were just business as usual, and we probably ranted about it.
Olympus has fallen. London has fallen. And then
Angel has fallen.
Angel has fallen.
Angel. What's Angel?
I think that's just the president.
They don't have the president. Yeah, they don't know where he is.
Olympus is the White House. London is when they're in London. They're like, London has fallen. But Angel is the president, I believe.
Wow, the first one made money. Wow. Which one came out first?
And then those were based on books, right? Was this not based on anything? Was this just like trying to compete with that? Idea. Like just trying, somebody was just like, well, you know, they're going to do this. So we should.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess we'll get into it.
Olympus Has Fallen came out on one of the greatest days of all time, March 18th. And then.
Wait, well, is that your birthday?
I'm not a scientist. But then later that summer, June 28th is when.
Wait, March 18th, what
later
year?
That same summer. 2013. Later that same summer.
It was the same. Yeah. Okay, so these movies came out in the same year.
This is an Ants, A Bug's Life release. Yes. This is a Dante's Peak Volcano. There is a name for it, but I don't know what it is. But it's one of those.
And nobody ever remembers this movie. This is Madagascar and Into the Wild. Not Emile Hirsch's Into the Wild. There was an animated film called Into the Wild that was the exact storyline as Madagascar, and nobody saw that movie.
I also watched
Cinderella too.
The Cinderellas, the two Cinderellas.
The Cinderellas, yeah.
Wait, I just watched Time Cut and then Totally Killer. They didn't come out at the same time. They're just the same movie. About going back in time.
Wow, I've never seen this movie in my life. Into the Wild. This is The Wild. Where's Into
the Wild? Oh, is it called The Wild? Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad. The Wild. Yeah.
This animation is gnarly.
It's really bad. Yeah.
Because they were rushing, because whatever company that was.
They're like, oh my God, we're going to get beat. No, yeah.
This says distributed by Disney.
Deep Impact, Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah, those were the famous Disney, ones. But the Disney, for a while, the Disney non-Pixar CG films were like not quite cutting it. They were like, I think that had to be pre-Tangled and pre-Frozen, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, true.
Yeah.
And those were like, they just weren't quite working in terms of style. They like hadn't figured out how to really pull it off. And I still think that those movies they pale in comparison to Pixar in terms of like how detailed the animation is, but they're certainly better now than they were in the early days.
Oh my God. Yeah, they were bad. Yeah, anyway, I guess we should just, you know, there's no bits to be done. You know, the White House is down. The White House is down.
Wow.
I mean, it is.
Now I actually don't know. Were you saying the title or were you just talking about
it? Technically, yeah. Can't tell.
Now I truly don't know because it's down. It's not down yet, but it's on its way. It's like shutting down. It's the slow shutdown, like how long it would take to shut down your computer back in the day. I remember how long it used to take to shut off your computer back in the day?
Yeah.
Long time. Shut down and reboot.
So sad. Anyway, this isn't a political podcast. And just because White House down doesn't mean we have to, you know. Anyway, let's just get to it. Guys, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. Tell it, what more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
As the President of the United States, I say this with all the power and weight of the authority of my voice. Fuck you.
Yep.
It was either going to do that one or there's a couple. Wait, get your hands off my Jordans.
That's the one I thought you were going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna do that. Jordans.
And then when he said that, I was like, oh no, that's the
with
line.
The full weight.
They kept and they gave him one more.
My position.
They gave him one more. He was like, they gave him one more. I choose the pen.
I think he said like the pen is mightier, or yeah, I choose the pen. That was maybe one of the worst. Why action hero lines I have ever heard in my entire life.
So this is Roland Emmerich, right?
No.
Okay, this is not Emmerich. Who did
is
this?
Is it
one?
Not?
No, is this not Emmerich? I'm pretty sure this is McG. Right?
Okay, is it McG or is it
Emmerich? No. This is Emmerich. This is Emmerich.
Here's my thing about Emmerich.
What has he done?
So this is the thing, is I feel this about a Emmerich? Lot of the movies of his I've seen post ID4 even, that he doesn't really allow the scenes to breathe as much anymore.
Sure.
And it's maybe also because he's adding more action set pieces
than
ID4 is a great puzzle of like moving parts, and you know, we have a lot of short scenes, but they're just long enough that you are able to kind of sit in the moments. But this is a prime example of like where he has in general gone wrong post ID4, you know.
See, but yes, I agree with you. I agree. But this has to be his worst movie. And he has some bad ones. But I mean, like, I did a little Emmerich movie marathon this past Independence Day. Because we watched Independence Day, but I was like in the mood for Emmerich movies. I watched Godzilla. You know,
I love that one. Oof. I love that one. I love it.
I like it too. I don't love it, but I like it.
No,
The Day After Tomorrow, which is a movie that, here's the thing about Emmerich movies, especially the ones that he did, like the ones that he did shortly after Independence Day. I felt like Godzilla and Day After Tomorrow, I felt like he was so good at the buildup. Like the beginning of all those movies, I think, are really good. Like the beginning of Godzilla is so good. The beginning of The Day After Tomorrow is so good. But then it like peters off and he can't stick the landing to any of them.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with that.
He did Moonfall too, right?
Yeah. I never saw it because I was just
It was so impractical.
What's Moonfall?
Moonfall is the movie about the moon falling into the...
into the earth.
And that,
let me tell you something right now.
No.
It happens.
In the movie?
This happened in 2022?
They have to leave Earth? Humans have to leave
Earth? No, it's just like part of the moon breaks off and falls onto the... It doesn't make any sense. The movie scientifically makes zero sense. Movie. Correct.
Yeah, no, it was... It had like... The cast was wild.
Patrick Wilson, Michael Pena.
I so didn't like... Resurgence that I was like, and I thought 2012 was fine.
Oh, and 2012, I watched 2012 on Independence Day as well.
And so I was like, I just think I'm
2012. 2012 is insane.
Yeah,
that movie is another movie that's absolutely ridiculous.
Like Nostradamus 2012, like the world's ending.
Correct.
The world ends in 2012. And everyone has to get to whatever are like arcs. They're like arcs that were built. We have to get to the arcs and or away from the destruction.
I gotta say, man, I can't believe this is an Emmerich film, because at the very least, he always does the setup well. And I thought, I mean, we haven't started. Okay, well, hold on. Let's
sorry,
first of all,
I took us down a path.
No. It's all right. For those of you who are listening to the first time, welcome. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors, talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Sometimes we pick films that don't actually have a leading Black actor. The Black lead is like, so this is kind of like that. Even though on the poster, I think we always knew that Channing Tatum was like technically like a little bit above Jamie Foxx, but on the poster it has both of them.
I think they messed up with this one. They met like
Channing's name comes first in the opening,
but it's supposed to be a two-hander.
But like in the rendering of the movie, yeah, they messed up. I think some of the scenes they push him back, and he could have been way more at the forefront,
way more into
the movie. I think the movie messed up. Yeah.
Like, yeah, this movie is definitely, but it's the same way in Olympus Has Fallen. It's about.
Correct. But I think Olympus Has Fallen, to me, that movie and the marketing of that movie was very much like, this is a Gerard Butler film.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman's just playing the president. But this movie felt like this is both of them.
Yeah.
Like the marketing of it. Mm. And then it wasn't that. But again, I guess we'll talk about this, but this could go into that category of movies that use a Black actor who is more famous than the white actor, and they use that person's fame to promote the movie, and yet they still make the white person the actual lead.
Yup.
Wow.
Yup.
So anyway, that's what we do. There are three of us. You hear the three distinct voices, this voice that you sound, that you you are listening to now, and you're like, what's that voice sound like? Is that kind of like maybe a young Barack Obama, the last Democratic president we'll ever have? Yeah. Sure.
We've had one after him.
Completely discounting Joe Biden.
Doesn't count.
We have one after him.
Doesn't count.
Joe did a good job, yo. Joe came in to a fucking trash fire.
The last two-term Democratic president will ever have.
Okay, there we go.
There it is.
Listen. Oh. Oh, God. This is the voice of a person who is moving out of the country who said it before the election, mind you. I've been saying it. 2026, I'm out,
that's
bro.
That's fair. That's fair.
2026, I'm out. This is Gerard Milligan.
This voice, that sounds like maybe he's doing a Barack Obama impression, but also maybe he's not. That voice is James III.
Oh, I forgot if I said my name is Jonathan Braylock. Like, anyway, guys, let's get into this. We're reviewing the film White House Down.
Because the world's burning.
The world's burning. I thought it'd be clever because of the title. Maybe it was a mistake.
The White House is down.
The White House is down. This film stars Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx, Maggie Gyllenhaal, some other people. The dude who was...
the actual racist man. Yo, first off, before...
Yeah, wait, James
it,
Woods as himself. James Woods as himself.
This piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, James Woods himself.
This is my thing about fucking James Woods, bro. I remember when I was younger, I remember watching, well, I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I remember like the adults watching How to Kill a Mockingbird. And I remember like one of my aunts was like, fuck, like going off on James Wood. And I remember everyone was like, it's a movie, like blah, blah, blah. And she's like, he's too good at this. He's too good, blah, blah, blah. No one believed it. Fast forward fucking a decade and a half, he's a fucking open racist. Just an open ass racist. Like,
yeah.
Fuck James Wood.
That's amazing.
Wood.
We need to stop making sure
when we cast these white people to be racist in historical movies that they're not actually racist in real life. Because some of them, like, look, bro, I'm not going to cast a crackhead to play a crackhead, James, because that's that's fucked up to the crackhead.
That's how Samuel Jackson got his start.
Sam Jackson is fine. I'm talking about the racist white dude who's on Twitter losing his goddamn mind. That's what I'm talking about. I'm looking at him in this movie talking about being a goddamn patriot.
I thought he was coming
out of rehab, but I could have be conflating his story with somebody else's.
Who was in rehab? James Woods?
Samuel Jackson. That's who you were asking about, right, Bray? Here's what I'm saying. I don't know that we should necessarily do that because I don't know if just because someone is racist, they shouldn't have a job. But they should,
James. Why they gotta work? Why they gotta work, James? I'm looking at people from January 6th. Do you realize? Because Bray is right, and this is it. I'm done. This is not a political podcast. But let's fucking think for a second that the people who went on January 6th, who did not get arrested, who ran fleeing like cowards, are about to go back on January 20th. With fucking drums and horns as victors? Do we?
They about to release them out of prison. Whoever's in prison is about to be out of prison. All of that.
Easy. Yeah. We live in a world where a black man who kneeled silently hasn't played in a fucking NFL game in almost a decade. And I got to watch these crazy white people go up here with their horns and trumpets and sing. Nigga.
Send me to the moon.
Fuck. Let me hop on the moon before I go back.
I just saw somebody retweet something that Kyle Rittenhouse said, which is basically him being like, y'all know we got guns, right? And it's like, dude, you killed people.
He didn't go to jail.
You are brazenly saying we have guns. Like what? I don't like how, it's really upsetting. I don't like how emboldened everybody is. I don't like how everybody's bad.
It's bad.
All he did was get elected. And everybody's like, great. Gloves off.
Let me tell you, I live in West Hollywood, and you know, I live not too far from the famous gay area in LA. And on Wednesday, there was a Trump, like I wouldn't call it a parade, but a bunch of racist white men and homophobic white men in their trucks driving through Santa Monica Boulevard, screaming that they won and their victors on like megaphones and shit with like the Trump flags. And it was a bunch of them. And I'm looking at them like, oh, this is day one, bro. Like this is day one.
It's technically not even day one.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right.
It's not
right,
day one right. yet.
Listen, it's not to everybody out there, and enjoy until January 20th, because that's when the world is burning. Let's burn it down, because it's already burning right. anyway. Anyway, let's talk about this movie.
Yeah, so we're reviewing the film White House Down. This movie came out in 2013, directed by Roland Emmerich, written by this guy, James Vanderbilt. I'm going to look him up soon. Because
oh, James Vanderbilt. Oh, shit.
No, you don't?
I just know his... He does a ton of stuff, but I don't know if... Now I'm wondering, because I didn't love this movie. Spoiler. Okay. I'm now wondering, you know, if I liked his other stuff, though, because I
Let's
recognize
see.
His name.
Oh, he wrote the new Screams. Scream 5 and Scream 6.
I hate him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
but Ready James. Or Not is supposed to be good. Ready or Not is supposed to be good.
Ready or Not's pretty good, but also
He didn't write Ready or Not.
He's credited, so maybe producer.
As a writer or as a producer?
Maybe as a producer. It just says, I haven't gone to his page yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. He's a producer.
Oh, he wrote ID. He wrote ID4 Resurgence. Oh, yeah. I don't like this dude.
Oh, he also wrote. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, let me see what he wrote.
Actually. He wrote The Amazing Spider-Man 2, the movie I starred in. So.
Oh, yeah. Honestly.
Everybody back off.
Honestly. He wrote The Rundown. Never mind. He wrote The Rundown. He can do no
I love
wrong.
The Rundown.
He can do no wrong. He wrote The Rundown. Okay. There's just something
he actually has written some good, like Basic. Good I think movies. Is a decent Basic is a decent movie. The Rundown is a fun movie. Zodiac I thought was pretty good. It wasn't great, but pretty. Yeah, the Losers was, also, you know. And then he wrote both of the Amazing Spider-Mans, which is that's. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess he did Story. He did Story for these. But
Story for the first one. Oh, Story for the second one too.
Second one too.
Oh wow, he was just writing these first
and he wrote Murder Mystery, which I actually think is
I liked
a fun
Murder Mystery.
Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, that first one's great.
Okay, the first one's fun. Like, I can't tell you that it's good.
Respect.
He's all right. He's all right.
Respect. Yeah.
So guess what, guys? This movie made $205 million at the worldwide box office.
And that is breaking even or?
Yeah, because its budget was $150 million.
Dang.
I have no clue how this budget in 2013 was $150 million?
Well, because it was Roland Emmerich and they gave him carte blanche and he, you know, and I mean.
This does not feel like a $150 million movie.
It does not. I mean, there's a lot of effects.
There's just VFX. It's all VFX, right? Unless they like built, did they build a new White House and stuff? Like they could have built a whole.
Who's the Olympus Has Fallen budget? Olympus Has Fallen was $70
million. What? That's half the budget.
But also we have to recognize one thing. That's more than half. Olympus Has Fallen, Bray. Was directed by a black man who knows how to like work a budget. It was Antoine Fuqua. So
Okay. Wow. That's great. Olympus Has Fallen definitely looks better than this movie.
I'll bet there isn't as much VFX. There was so much VFX in this.
Yeah. And for what reason? They were bad VFX.
Also, when you watch Olympus Has Fallen, it feels, I remember it's only because my stepdad really liked that movie. It actually, in watching White House Down, Olympus Has Fallen almost feels smaller. It feels more intimate. So you could tell where they don't have like a bunch of scoping wide shots like they do in this movie. Like in this movie, it's just like,
yeah,
they go back to the shot of the Capitol burning so many times and so many overheads. Like they just didn't have the money. Like just you could just tell the other one didn't have all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have that many stars in it. Not that many, but you know what I mean.
This movie has a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. And somehow it has a 62% audience score.
It's a shame though, because this movie does end with a very clear sequel throw. Like a very clear, like
it does?
I think so. I think his I have friends as he's pulled away and jailed. Like he didn't need to say anything. He didn't need to say anything, you know? And it's like
sure.
And now, you know, Channing getting the job, I think that's how that should have ended regardless. But I think specifically the underscore of I Have Friends was like them being like, let's make 12 more movies, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they wanted to do what Olympus Has Fallen did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy that the movie that had less than half the budget. I mean, wow. Oh, yeah. Joey King is in this movie. This podcast is sponsored by Uncommon Goods. Ooh. Guys, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. We all know how hard it is to shop during the holiday season.
Yes.
It's like you got to think of a gift idea. You're like, what do I get? I got this in that last year and 2 years ago. It just, you know, it's really, it can be a stressful experience, but not with Uncommon Goods. You can find gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and think, that's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, man. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their own handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize.
Mm-hmm. From holiday hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, the hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date.
Oh, so to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Hollywood. That's uncommongoods.com/Hollywood for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, shall we do initial thoughts?
We must.
I'll go. It's not that I didn't. This movie felt fine. It felt like Die Hard meets a White House movie somehow to me. It was like, it felt very, and the thing is, I keep trying to think of why I liked Olympus Has Fallen over this one. And I think it's because Olympus Has Fallen, what's the best way to put it? It was just so serious. Like when you watch that movie, it is extremely serious. The action is crazy. And not that this one was jokey or anything. It just felt like family friendly, even though it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it feels brighter. It feels more in line with, yeah, like Independence Day with, what's that movie? Armageddon. It feels like one of those kind of, I'm making a popcorn movie. Whereas Olympus Has Fallen is like, I'm making a man movie. But yeah, it was fun. I think, like, you know, Channing and Chang. You also, you notice, I think I needed Jamie to be tougher sooner. If that makes sense. Like, when you watch Olympus Has Fallen.
Makes a lot of sense.
Because, yeah, because I think he needed, I do. I think.
Oh,
I
Jamie Foxx. I'm sorry. I thought
Jamie
I was thinking
Fox.
Of him. Okay.
Jamie.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Because when you watch Olympus Has Fallen, like, I think Aaron Eckhart, his president was a former military person. So, like, he's with the shits immediately. Whereas in this one, I feel like you could feel Jamie kind of playing a character, but he's Jamie, so he's too tough for that. I don't know. I think the balance was off a little bit. But anyway, it was watchable. Yeah.
Okay. I can go. Okay, Olympus Has Fallen was released first.
Right.
Yeah, nigga, I said
but
that.
But same year, though. Same year, though.
This nigga break.
I remember you said I didn't see what you said it was released when it was released, but I didn't hear when
White
year?
House
Down was there. Or the month that White House Down was released. I was just
copy,
thinking.
Copy, copy, copy.
Look, okay. I don't like this movie. For many reasons. But you know, just in conjunction with the podcast, I don't like this movie because I don't like its portrayal of Jamie Foxx as the black president. Now, this movie came out while Obama was in office. It was conceived while Obama was in office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain lines in this movie that I had huge problems with. One of them being, like, they were talking about Richard Jenkins' character, and he was like, and he says something like, I'm not cool, like, people want a cool president, like, I'm not cool enough to be president. And I was like,
makes no sense.
F you. Like, yes, Obama is cool, but, like, as for a politician, I guess, but, like, come on. That's not the reason people elected him, because he was cool.
Like, they didn't know he was cool till they got in office, baby.
At least we could say at least 200 people voted for him because he was cool.
sure.
At least, you know.
Anyway, I just thought I thought Jamie Foxx wasn't used well enough. I thought he wasn't used properly. I didn't like his performance in this. And, you know, and I'm not going to necessarily blame Jamie Foxx, but I just, like, the character was strange. It just didn't work. It was like this weird, like, back and forth between, like he's supposed to be like this politician who's, like, you know, not up for this, but then at other times he's like, he is supposed to be kind of a cool black guy, you know, but, like, I just didn't feel right. Like, it never felt right. It never felt authentic. I mean, the movie itself is really silly and dumb. There's so much I didn't like about this, and I just felt like, I don't know, for a film that seemed like maybe it wanted to say something, it ultimately felt like it didn't really say anything, especially for the politics of the time, you know? I don't know. I'm frustrated by this. I thought this movie should have been so much better than it was. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree that this movie should have been better than it was. And I think that's the tag of everything else I'm gonna say. This was a tough watch for me this close to the recent election. I tried to watch it three times, twice before I actually watched all the way through. And just like a hokey, like, woo, like, we're gonna take back the White House movie was just like a bit much for me right now. But I'll say, like, in terms of, like, the rendering of the film, like, it has a very, like, very kind of paint by numbers, like, opening, like, you know, the black president who loves American history, and, like, the wannabe Secret Service agent who's battling the squirrels outside of the Secretary of Defense or whatever that guy's role was. It's like, okay. You know, it's very, like, there's that particularly the line from Maggie Gyllenhaal. There's two lines that I was just like, oh, my God, in the beginning, where after Jamie says, like, you know, have I ever told you about Abraham Lincoln's blah, blah, blah? And she goes, yes, you tell me that every time. And then the music swells. And then while Channing's dealing with the squirrels, the guy's like, do you need backup? I was like, okay. This is a very
You didn't like it from
numbers.
The open it.
It started with the nostalgia of that, like, watching a movie like this was hitting me. But it was like, oh, this isn't going to be. I'm not going to, like, love this movie, you know? And then I just, yeah, like, I think, like, in general, the movie, I really agree with that sentiment that the movie, you talked specifically about Jamie Foxx's performance, but the movie itself felt like it was, like, struggling with its tone. Like, there's specifically the like humor. Like, whenever there was, like, a joke, there was never any room for that stuff to, like, play. And, like, the tour guide character, I was like, this poor actor is fighting for his life, trying to make the humor of this work. Because it was just like, it was like, these things are somewhat funny, but, like, I'm invested in
the reality of what's happening.
Are they going to blow up half the world? Like, what's happening? Like, I don't even know what their goal is right now. And you want me to laugh at this man almost getting split in half by a helicopter propeller? Like, I still don't know what's, it's not, you want me to, like, I don't know if this guy's going to get shot in the head if he goes up to this man and asks him not to destroy.
He should.
it was just like, it was hard to know what they wanted me to enjoy. It starts to open up. I mean, I may be jumping around a bit in my experience, but it starts to open up for me when like Jamie Foxx is leaning out of the window and shooting a a bazooka. Fun. It's like, oh, okay. Nonsense is what the movie is. Yes. You want me to think that this movie is nonsense. But I was struggling the whole time with like how serious to take it. And that thing I said before of like how fast the scenes move. Like, I just feel like at any point in Independence Day, I'm in love with every character I'm seeing, even the ones that I'm not supposed to like. And this was like not quite hitting that for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess this is what I'll say, like, right, with the, because, and we'll talk about the beginning of this movie. I feel like, so one of the big things with a lot or so many of Roland Emmerich's films is that they're like kind of global in scope, right? Like, I mean, so many of his movies are about, you know, kind of an apocalypse or an apocalyptic event type thing. Moonfall, 2012, Day After Tomorrow, you know, and even Independence Day. And even God, I mean, like, so Godzilla is one that's not an apocalypse, but it is like a here comes impending doom, you know, on the city, right? Like, and every, and the entirety of New York City is affected by this, right? Okay. This movie has a plot in which, you know, that can still be here. We're getting like a kind of, it doesn't have to be a global sense, but at least like a sense of like, this is America and like the president is about to be, like the White House is about to be taken over by terrorists and the president might be killed.
There could have been an entire storyline with like someone in Ohio that like then it converges when Air Force One is blown up over Ohio. Like that, like that feels like the energy of Independence Day for something like this for me, that like would have been
great. Or at least like here are the different leaders that we're following and like and like our chain of command and that
around
kind of thing.
Around the whole world. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I felt like we didn't like, so we didn't really like, I didn't feel like that was established. The establishment of Jamie Foxx's character is basically like, yeah, he likes history, you know, like he likes Lincoln.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
he makes them fly below
three Black Hawks
levels into airspace they shouldn't be flying in, just so that he can.
By the way, that people would be around.
Exactly,
it's the reflection pool. Like I understand at the time of day it wasn't, but like people jog around there in the morning.
Absolutely, we see DC, people around when they do it at the end of the movie. For sure, we see people around.
Anyway, so that was freaking weird. And also, like, I was just like, okay, I still don't really know who this man is. Like, it was weird. Like, he had a family, but we never saw the family. I thought that was weird.
Oh,
that
Channing's family? I mean, not Channing, Jamie's?
Yeah, Jamie's family. Like,
yeah, if anything, we saw way more of Channing's.
Yeah, we saw his wife, like, in a quick glimpse because she was in a hotel somewhere. Or, like, she was... Yeah.
Okay.
They had conversation. No. They had a phone conversation.
Oh,
and then we see them again later. The two of them, him and her and her daughter, watching that he's been killed.
I will say this though: the cool thing about this is that his wife is fancy from the Jamie Foxx show. So it's like,
oh, I didn't make that's that. Cool.
So yeah, so like that's his wife. His wife is the woman he was, you know, hitting on for 5 years on a TV show.
Honestly, that makes the movie better. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I was like, the moment I saw, I was fancy.
Yeah. It's Garcelle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. She was. Yeah.
Her name is Fancy, Bray. Okay. Her name is Fancy. Her name is Fancy.
She was in Fresh Prince of Bel Air, too, like a couple episodes, I feel like. Anyway. I forgot. Yeah. Anyway. So we have that. Then we get into Channing Tatum stuff, and he is the security detail for the Secretary of State, which to me
still good job. Great job.
A pretty big time job.
It is the third most important you know, security politician detail you could be on.
I truly do not understand how they're treating this man like he's the like he's a freaking mall cop. Like, they're like, he's at a boring detail. I'm like, boring detail? This is the secretary. This is a big deal. Or Speaker of the House or whatever it's called. Sorry, the Speaker of the House. I'm like, this is still a big deal.
He should have been a failed dude who never got in, period. He shouldn't have had a detail, period. He should have been like, oh, man, I'm security at the White House. You know what I'm saying? Like a lowly.
But they needed the double cross, the betrayal, even though.
But you don't feel that.
I feel like it's obvious. I feel like it's
James, because you know my rules.
This movie goes is so obvious for not.
Yes,
that
you know the rules.
Okay.
Wait, did you know it immediately? I didn't think
Bray. The moment he showed up and James Woods showed up.
What about Maggie Gyllenhaal? She's big.
Because the world will not let a woman backtrack like that. We live in a patriarchy. It was no way she was going to be a bad guy. If anything, she was going to be the double down hero. But yeah. Them white dudes. I'm talking about the moment he showed up. I was like, he's the one bankrolling everything.
So it was obviously James Woods because of what he was dealing with. Like when we first see him, he's like, oh,
yeah, that one was
over.
Obvious.
That's obvious.
He won't put the flag on.
But then my man, who is in everything, whose name I'm not going to say because I don't know it.
Richard.
Secretary.
Richard.
Jenkins.
Richard Jenkins. Mm-hmm. I was like suspicious of him. But then the second he was given the presidency, that was when I knew it was him. That was when I knew he was the other inside person.
Oh, interesting.
But I was suspicious of him the whole time because I was like, there's got to be somebody else, you know, who it's not just this man who's been there for 20, even though it was a great smoke screen because it's like, oh, we think it's just him. But I was like, no, there's somebody. There's something else. They keep showing the launch codes every time the launch codes are handed out. I was like, all right, something.
I didn't necessarily need it. Like, it wasn't that. Like interesting to me personally.
It did nothing.
And also his connection to Channing Tatum doesn't, it's like we barely see them together. So that doesn't feel like a big betrayal. Like we barely see them together. And also Channing Tatum doesn't want to work for him, even though.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like it's a weird thing. It's like he's like, and when we get the reason why he wants to be in the Secret Service, it's because he's like, oh, I can't think of a more important job. And it's like, okay, but like,
yeah.
your problem is that you're just not showing up for your daughter.
Yeah, yeah, it's something.
Or like, technically he is, he just doesn't feel good enough for some reason. It's like, bro, why don't you feel good enough? You got a good job.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why does he, that's the other thing. I'm just like, him working for the Secret Service is going to make his problems much worse.
Yeah.
Much worse than they already are. His daughter is upset with him because he's missing her like things.
As evidenced by the end of the movie. I mean, she gets to ride on the chopper with them at the end, but like when he just has to go to work.
Immediately after his daughter almost dies and he's like, you have to come with me. When that happened, I literally was like, yeah, you have no time to comfort your daughter who was literally at gunpoint multiple times in this film.
Yep.
it's the emotional part of this is so they didn't even try. Like it's not even it's not even like corny by the book. It's like the dots don't even connect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we have that, which I don't understand. So it's like, I don't understand why he's just not a part of the Secret Service. Like that's the part that actually it would make more sense for him to just be a part of the Secret Service and he's like, his daughter and his ex-wife are like, you never have time. And he's like, I'm doing an important job. And they're like, your job's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does this and they're like, your freaking job is important. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Anyway, like the idea that he's a loser doesn't make any sense to me because he's not.
They tried to, I mean, thinking about Independence Day, he is sort of the Jeff Goldblum in this scenario where like he even has the, Channing. Channing is the Jeff.
Channing's
Goldblum.
Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I thought he was supposed to be like Will Smith.
Yeah, well, he's both. He's a hybrid of both, but specifically this part of the like being a loser stuff, that all of that is very Jeff Goldblum in that it's like everyone sort of underestimates like him and they don't know what like his role is and like why he's here. And he has to like,
right.
he has to convince the White House aide who, you know, in who is his ex. It's like the same beat. It's the exact same like beats of that. And like, finally they come around at the end, you know? And so it feels like Roland, I mean, he didn't write this, but it feels like it's very influenced by that kind of story.
Wait. Is Maggie Gyllenhaal isn't his ex? Maggie Gyllenhaal is just they like knew a each other. Girl.
No, they knew each other in college, and my thought is that they dated in college. That's my thought.
Oh,
because they were so uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't. That did. I didn't.
They
pick
were
up
so
on
uncomfortable.
That.
They were. It wasn't just like, oh, you are my friend who I know fucks up all the time. It was like, why we ain't date, and also you fuck up all the time. That was you. That's how I saw it.
Okay, that makes it a better movie.
What was his fuck ups?
Everything well, we just hear. She just just reads them. We literally never see them. She just reads like, oh, your superiors say you don't follow orders. By the way, wouldn't Richard Jenkins be that superior? Like, that's the part that I didn't understand. I was like, who is saying these bad things about him? Like, wouldn't he have a good recommendation from Richard Jenkins?
It was literally everyone else because he was like, but Richard, as you see, you know, I'm working with him. And they were like, and then they were like, oh my God, the Secretary of State detail. They were doing the like, that's nonsense. Like,
but it's hard because I'm like, crazy. You know, even at the end of the day, like I think about, I keep comparing this movie to, and I'm watching the last 10 minutes. I keep comparing it to Die Hard. And I think about Die Hard, it's like, we don't see Bruce Willis's fuck ups before they start. All we know is like he's divorced, he's trying to get to his wife, and then we see his wife, they have this interaction where there's so much weight, and then she starts saying, like, she doesn't just list out like you did this, you did this, you did this. It kind of comes out in the conversation as like you find out he missed this thing and like the kid had this thing going on, and like it just felt more, we could see why he was a fuck up, whereas in this movie Channing seems like a good dad. I don't know. Yeah. Like, maybe I got daddy issues. I don't. He seems like a dad.
Well, we're told like everything. We're just told.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
he missed
dad
her talent
stuff.
Show, but it's like,
well, he missed her talent show.
My man missed.
He
her
came
talent
late.
Show.
In the beginning of the movie. No, that's what I'm saying. We just are told it. Like in the beginning of the movie, he goes to pick up his daughter. She's immediate. Like, you're late. You know. And then he's like, oh, why is she mad at me?
What's wrong? Yeah, like,
what did I do? And he's like, you missed her talent show. And she's like, oh, well, you could have reminded me. And she's like, I'm not your secretary. Like, you know, you keep doing this. So I guess we're supposed to believe that he keeps missing his daughter's stuff and keeps messing up in that.
And she don't seem mad about it.
The same thing happens later with the... One of the guys that's taking down the White House gets killed, and he's like, that was, and then the other guy's like, that was my best friend. And it's just like, okay.
You're 100% correct,
what
James.
What do you mean? I don't know who this guy is. I don't know who you are. Like,
in fact, you're saying his name, and I don't think I've heard it before. And also, if you were to tell me 5 minutes after that happened, what did the guy look like who was his best friend, I would not be able to tell you because I don't remember.
I can only tell you because he played the mayor on Flash, and that's why I recognize
that's
this
hilarious.
Actor. But I also wouldn't. The mayor on Flash. What's his name? He's also in Black Adam.
I don't remember the character's name.
He's
talking about Jason Clarke.
Jason Clarke's best friend. Yeah.
Friend who's the reason why he's making this personal. Even though it doesn't need to. It's like, even that whole thing, he was like, you're making it personal. It's like, dude, making it personal or not, you do need to kill this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna mispronounce his name, and I apologize to Patrick. Patrick Sabongui. Probably incorrect. But when I saw him in Black Adam, I was excited to see him because I think this guy's a great actor. But he says zero lines in this movie and is killed almost immediately. So
Yep.
So the other thing about this, so the other thing about this movie that I can't believe Roland directed this is because, like, we don't, to me, in all of these setups, like when we're seeing the impending doom coming, it feels so, it doesn't, like, I'm not feeling the intensity of it. You know what they usually have? Like, Roland usually has a couple of people who are like, here's a bad thing that might happen. And everybody's like, shut up, that'll never happen. How do we not get that in this movie? How do we not get, how do we not get Channing Tatum or any character or Maggie Gyllenhaal or any character in this movie who's like, hey, there are a couple of flaws in our security system. You know that, right? Like, there's this thing or that thing or whatever. And people are like, shut up, nobody cares. We don't get any of that.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't even understand. The only thing we get is like, they do the eagle eye control center thing. So we get like a little bit of like the security checkpoints, like, but that's really it. And I feel like usually in these types of movies, we get the sense of like, here are maybe some incoming problems. And then here's the things that are happening that people aren't paying attention to. Right.
Yeah. I mean, even if like, you know, we are also sort of told the business with the sun. I can't remember what we saw around their apartment, but even if that was a little bit more actively a part of the story, I feel like that would also propelled us further a little bit more in an interesting way, rather than just like saying, I think it's about his son. I think it's about his son, your son, your son. It's like, we're not invested in that. You're just sort of generally talking about it.
I feel right. Like that's a, and they like hint issue. At it a little.
They keep it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also this whole stuff that's happening in the Middle East, like the whole, it's like we hear a little bit about like, okay, he has, people are mad because he's trying to bring together a bunch of Arab nations and create, oh, he wants to pull out all of the troops from like everywhere, you know, which is, I, to me, that was so funny because I was like, yeah, of course we would never actually do that. I mean, Biden finally got the troops out of Afghanistan. It took 20 years.
20.
Everybody was mad at how he did it. Remember,
everybody was mad at how he did it.
They were pissed.
But we still have bases in different places and stuff. And like, okay. So I was like, okay, like I kind of like this, but like even this felt like not fully. We didn't like other than like I don't know. I guess
the ultimate reason. You know, even though it is roped into the ultimate reason for why this is happening, it still doesn't feel like it's a part of the story. It still doesn't feel like it's motivating the story. I agree.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel that big. And so all of this stuff,
to what we were talking about earlier, it would feel bigger if we
there was something happening in the Middle East, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. If we didn't just deal with the people in the White House, like if we didn't just deal with these people, it would have felt like when my man died earlier and Jason Clark was like, that was my best friend. I thought it was like, oh, shit, this is also someone who's related to somebody and it will have an effect on a thing like. But it wasn't that. It was just he liked him, you know, like it was.
Yeah,
I thought that was strange.
And maybe this was just me, but can I tell you, like, when this movie gets going and all this stuff happens, I literally was sitting there thinking, I was sitting there like going, man, this feels like a much bigger deal than like what I feel like other people in this film are reacting to. Like, when, like, eventually, and I know, I mean, I'm like, I'm skipping way ahead, but eventually when Air Force One gets blown up and the vice president of the United States dies, I literally was sitting there being like, that is crazy. Like that is like, if that were to happen here, it feels like on the level of a 9/11. And I do not feel like but I'm watching this movie and I was like, I know that intellectually, but I don't feel like that's the impact that's happening in the movie. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the craziest thing.
Because they keep cutting to this tour guide doing fucking slapstick bits. And then and then they keep trying to infuse, and now he's wearing Jordans. Like, stop. Like, this is the end of the country. Like,
yeah, like I was like, this is this feels bigger than 9/11. It like it feels bigger than 9/11, and yet
to,
like,
to have killed at the time the president of the United States.
The president, the sitting president.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's somehow crazy. Everybody's just kind of, I'm just like this. I'm like, what's going on? Okay, so the way that things get started, it feels like the most unrealistic. And again, this I felt like this could have been helped if they were like, hey, here are all the problems, and here's the little stuff where details we're not on, and people are like, eh, whatever. But like, even with the inside information that James Wood is able to provide them, one, the first thing that happens is somebody leaves something behind, and they timed it well, to be fair, right? So it's like somebody did like sit was like, hey, you can't leave that there. Bomb goes off. Okay. Bomb goes off. At that moment, this is equivalent to like the World Trade Center bombing, right? Where you're mm-hmm. like, this is a huge thing that was bombed. This is a terrorist attack. This is a country that's been through terrorist attack not that long ago, a pretty freaking big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lockdown of the White House would be immediate, and it's supposed to be. And yet, when they go through and start killing all these people in the White House, not a single person has their gun drawn. Every single person
no one is ready
has
for
to
it.
Go to. I'm
no
like,
no one is ready for it.
To me, I'm just like, a bomb just went off a block away. There's an alarm blaring. The president is in the White House. You guys are on lockdown, and everyone's treating it like it's a drill.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the craziest thing.
It's absurd. And
here's the other thing that I was upset about. It was like they wind up eventually having this comment about the news being like, oh, it's probably Arabs taking over the White House. Why did they not show that one of the reasons that this takeover was able to happen was because of racism? Like, that's a thing that I felt like could have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, even the guy who I keep going back to, Patrick, who's killed immediately. It's like they could have been, you know, it's like we could have seen the check-in process. I did an improv show at the Capitol once, and you have to check into security several times. There's like several levels of security mm-hmm. you have to go through.
As they should be.
And it's like they could have been continuously stopping this guy, and like we get to know a little bit about who this guy is, and we see how Jason even is like, he's fine or whatever. Like, we could have seen that. We could have seen the tensions of that. But no, there was nothing. They just waltz in. It's absurd.
And they have no guns to start. One person comes over. It's like an alarm is blaring. They're just like, hey guys, come on. How are you not suspicious at all? Anyway, whatever. That all of this, I hate it. I freaking hate it how they took over the White House. It felt
too easy.
Which is like, to me, the whole point of this movie is to see like a cool takeover. And it didn't feel cool or even smart. It just felt like, man, if it's that easy to take over the White House, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like it was pretty easy.
Yeah, no, people will be able to do this all the time. And maybe it is that easy, you know, but if it is, that's the blueprint, because they just, all you got to do is get inside, and then there's like four sections, and you just clear off the sections and you're good.
Yeah, because literally not a single person is ready for this. The way that they get into the armory, I was just like, these people in the armory, how are you not on alert? Also, are there not cameras here? Like, how were the people in the control before they took over the Eagle Eye? How are the people there not being like, yo, there's a freaking gang of custodians like taking out people one by one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no one gets anything out fast enough. Ridiculous.
This movie, like, legitimately, like, there's certain things that happen in this movie. Like, even when I'm about to skip ahead, because this feels like just a montage of action stuff, to be honest.
That's all it is. Absolutely.
It just feels like just a montage of action. And I'm like, I mean, from when the president, I mean, I don't even know where to start. Like, from the president, like, to me, the most exciting is what James mentioned earlier is when he gets the rocket launcher, he shoots the gate.
Yeah.
Like,
that sequence was crazy.
Yeah. He drops it immediately.
Well, okay. So we get Channing Tatum is in a tour group with his daughter. We have a tour group guy. The tour guide is making a bunch of jokes. They're all trapped in one room, but his daughter went to the bathroom. So she's by on her own. Channing Tatum's like, let me go out. The Secret Service dude is like, absolutely not. You stay here. And he's like, clearly bad stuff is happening out there. Can you do anything? And the guy's like, no. And then that guy inevitably just lets somebody walk in and shoot him in the face. So he's dead. Then Channing Tatum, Tessa started watching this movie with me. And it was the funniest thing. Like, immediately when they start shooting at Channing Tatum, she was like, wait, they all miss now? Because before they are all expert marksmen. They are taking out security agents left and freaking right. But the moment they start shooting at Channing Tatum, they can't hit it. They can't.
There's literally a scene when they're in the kitchen, when they're in the kitchen and Channing is going around a kitchen island, and my man with an automatic weapon is shooting around the automatic weapon as Tatum runs around the island and doesn't get a... He's crawling around the island, and he doesn't get hit once. Not mm-hmm. once. It's absurd. It's absurd.
So we have that freaking weird James Bond-ness going on. Then his daughter inexplicably isn't picking up her phone or texting him. And yet, there's another moment in the movie where her ringer is on and it winds up getting her caught. And I literally was like, first of all, I was like, wait a minute. When you were in the bathroom when all this stuff was happening, you didn't look at your phone and you didn't hear your ringer going off. But then, like, after 10 minutes of this, this girl who is so smart in so many ways doesn't turn her phone on to vibrate or silent?
That's the problem because she does. We do see her turn her mm-hmm. phone off. When she first sees something's happening, she turns it off and she's turning it on to shoot this film or whatever. But it is off we can assume it's off the other times when Channing's not able to intrude on her.
I missed that. But why would she turn it off?
She doesn't ever turn off because she doesn't want the... Okay, there was a lot of things like this. She doesn't want the sound to go off, but just
turn it on silent. It's 2013.
Or the other thing I thought was she thought that they would see the light because she was trying to hide from the first time she does it. She was trying to like hide from.
Got it.
But yeah, no, truly ridiculous.
That just didn't feel right. Yes. I was like, a 13-year-old girl isn't going to be texting.
It would have been off immediately. It would have been off immediately. No sound immediately. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, speaking of that, she films this happening. She sends it out to her YouTube. The news.
They put her face. They said her name and put her face on the news. Would do that.
I think they would actually.
And Gerard, I am actually with you. I was like, when that happened, I was like, I can't believe they did this. And two, maybe actually, I actually believe that the news would be that stupid.
On the news, a brave girl.
Said her name.
We know her name. Here's her name. And also, if you don't know, we found this picture.
Here's what
on
she
Twitter.
Looks like.
Yo, crazy.
It's like she's an active hostage. literally an active hostage. And you're putting her face and her name on the news? Like, obviously, these people are going to be watching the news. What? What a crazy thing to do. And here's the thing.
Absurd.
Maybe. I do believe you. I agree that the news would do something that's stupid, but this is my thing with Roland. I'm like, Roland, you're usually pretty good at this. You have the news do that, and then you have somebody call the news and just chew them out. How dare you do this? This is why people hate you.
Yes.
And you have a guy, a news producer who's just like, it's about the money, you know? And then that guy has to die as well.
Yes, exactly. And similarly frustrating in the same way is how Channing knows they have missiles that can shoot things out of the air, and just for no reason at all withholds this. The first thing James. You say is, "I'm here. I have the president. They have these. They have these.
He killed the
missiles,
president.
These ballistic missiles that can." How do you not convey that to the people on the outside?
Not only that, but to that point, to one up that point, when they finally are like, we're doing this airstrike.
Don't say it because I'm upset.
And Channing Tatum calls Lance Reddick and goes, what are you doing? They have air, whatever the missails are called,
I need you to stop talking.
They have aircraft missiles. And Lance Reddick goes, not according to our intelligence.
Well, I have seen them is the line he says next. It was so annoying. It was so annoying. I've seen them is all he had. I'm sorry. This made me so
not
mad.
According to our intelligence. You've been taught this. You've been talking to a man who is not only inside of the White House. He has killed multiple of these people. He has the president of the United States with him. And you're going to go off. Who is your intelligence? What is your intelligence? He's there. Who else is in the building? What are you talking
about? Why would you argue with this? If your intelligence said there were none, why would you argue with this man
who is
inside? It's absurd.
He goes, not according to our intelligence. And anyway, even if I believed you, which is a crazy thing to say, even if I believed you, they're dark right now and we can't contact them. And I was like, what do you mean they're dark? They are flying over Washington, D.C. They're not in freaking Syria. Why are they dark? They don't need to be
this
dark.
This entire sequence, I was like, why did Channing see them? Why did he see them? Because we needed to know what they were, but all you needed was a henchman going, what are these? They're going to shoot something out of the sky. Oh, and I don't know. Yep. Well, that's all we need for the audience to know what these things are. We do not need Channing to know that these things are there because it makes the movie even more ridiculous that he hasn't said anything. I just don't get it. Yeah.
Here's the other thing. There's a part in this movie where, okay, so when this is all happening, by the way, the National Guard has been assembled. There are, 100 soldiers, outside of the White House lined up with machine guns. You also have tanks lined up. But then we get this thing of okay, why aren't they going in? Well, there are hostages. Okay. But once stuff starts hitting the fan, once they start realizing hey, they're taking over our weapon system. When they know the president of the United States is there and is literally driving in a limo around the front yard of the White House, and all of these soldiers are doing literally nothing. I was like, this movie has lost the plot. And I can't enjoy. It has moved beyond bad action, like action logic. It's now just what are we even watching?
I mean, the thing about this movie is that, and I'm trying to compare it because I'm now I got White House Down on, and I'm like, oh, I can again. It's small.
You mean Olympus Has Fallen?
Olympus
Has Fallen, and it's just small. Like the two movies are just so drastically different, and I'm like, this movie just has so many wow jumps to it. Like immediately what you guys are talking about in the other one, in Olympus Has Fallen, we know the connection Gerard Butler has to Morgan Freeman and to the president in the first 15 minutes. Like we know who he is. We know how his life went south in 15 minutes. And I'm like,
yeah.
And also there's not a lot of this dumb shit of oh yeah.
Didn't he try to save the president? Like he got shot or something? Or no,
yes.
Or is that?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's when I'm looking at this one, it's what you're saying. I'm the news, the people across the street, everyone is watching the president do donuts while getting shot at. And no one does a fucking thing.
They're literally just watching him. I couldn't believe it. I was there are snipers on the roof. What?
I also don't know How close would you be if you were trying to monitor the situation as like news and a regular bystander? Like, just because there's a fence there.
I can't believe they were as close as they were. That's
yeah, they were. That, yeah. That felt weird to me too. Like it, was
it
like,
didn't make any sense.
Close.
How did they not set up a perimeter that was, first of all, putting aside the safety of civilians, which is why they wouldn't have them anywhere close. They wouldn't even let them close. It's also just another security threat. You have a bunch of, a crowd of people, a mass of people that you don't know who they are. And there is an active terrorist situation that's happening. Why would you allow hundreds of people out here who could also be terrorists? You don't know. They don't know.
Yeah, like, you don't know. You don't
people
know.
Could have bombs. Like, this is 2013. This isn't pre-9/11. Like, our minds are like, we have, there are so many different ways in which terrorism has happened. It's like, none of this made any sense.
Yeah, the movie makes no sense. Like, yeah. Nothing that happens in this movie makes sense.
Okay, this part also made me mad since we're talking about things that don't make no sense. When they get to, I think this is right before the, right before this part that we just talked about. But when they get to the, like, all you have to do, Mr. President, is walk down this tunnel and you're out and we'll get you. And he's like, and then Channing's like, I have to go get my daughter. And then Jamie goes, not without me or whatever.
Oh my God.
It's like, bro, you're the president of
yeah,
the
Tessa
States.
Kept saying, you Tessa can't... kept saying like he would, this would never happen. That a president
no,
would not
it would
do
never
that.
Happen. It would. It. I hated that. And then, of course, he, you know, later reveals himself. But like that.
I mean, and that was the that was even crazier. I mean, that was insane. Yeah. The president giving himself up. It's like, what is going on?
No, it's wild. Okay, but then they start giving the, you know, the chain of command starts switching. You know, it goes to the vice president. Then it, you know, the vice president gets...
Which, this whole thing is crazy.
I mean it.
Like, this whole thing of, like, the whatever. I'm fine.
Wait, what?
It's just like, you know what it is? It's like, we change... The president isn't dead. Oh, are they... Sorry. The vice president is like, hey, I want the power. Even though they know the president is alive, he's like, but he can't do shit. Even though they're talking to him, he still wants the power. This motherfucker gets shot down, supposedly. Next thing you know, I just felt like the power was moving so fast and furious in this movie that I'm like, no one feels, I don't know. I felt like I couldn't take anything serious.
100%.
One of the only things I liked was this. Like one of the only things I liked was how they transferred power. Like I liked how the vice president and like his team around him were like, excited about his like ascension to the presidency, yeah. You know, and then what I thought was cool before I was like, nah, you in on it, was like how the Secretary of State, it was like the way the movie tried to make it seem was like, oh, and now this person who never thought this would happen to him is now the President of the United States,
right?
You know. But then the first thing he did was like, let's blow up the White House.
There was a show that was on.
Oh, Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. Lone
Person 24.
Designated Survivor. Designated Survivor.
Everyone gets killed, but like somebody super low.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I remember that show. I saw the first episode.
The pilot was good. And the thing about it is that to me, it holds a lot of weight because. Again, the reason I knew Richard was evil, outside of him, you know, my whatever rule, is that he had no fear or reserve when it was time. It felt like, I guess he was walking slow. But when you see Kiefer Sutherland, he's like, I don't want this. Like, I don't want this. I don't know what's happening. Like, yeah, where's everybody else at? Like, and
well, Kiefer Sutherland is way down the line.
Yeah, right? True.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, he's like the 25th person. Yeah, or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaker of the House is third, but Well, I didn't necessarily see it coming, but I also didn't see it coming because I didn't care about it.
Yeah, you weren't looking for it.
I wasn't looking for it because I know they kept saying like there has to be more to this. This can't just be about money. This can't just be about his son. He can't be doing it alone. Like this must go deeper. Every time he said that, I was like, "What do you? I don't care.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, none of this matters.
The signal to me, but the big signal to me was, this movie's moving so fast. We're spending no time on like relationships or interpersonal anything. But every time someone becomes president, we see them get handed nuclear launch codes.
Right.
And and so that, to me, it was like once it
you,
happened,
you knew the
time,
nuclear
like,
launch codes were coming into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was, and it was like, okay, well, this is,
and,
you know.
And to be fair, if you were pitching me this movie and you were talking about the increasing danger of this, and one of it is like, it's actually the people who are taking over, a lot of them think it's just about money because they're mercenaries or vendettas, because it was about vendettas. Yeah. For a lot of them, it was about vendettas. That none of that actually mattered. The person who was the mastermind of all this, like, wanted to nuke Iran,
mm-hmm.
which is
to finish the mission,
so that the military. Oh, I'm thinking of
wanted to nuke Iran because.
But you mean James Woods?
James Woods wanted to nuke Iran, yeah. And I was like mm-hmm. that. I was like that, and doing that could easily start World War III. Like,
yeah.
These stakes couldn't possibly be higher. And yet, mm-hmm. I never felt them during the move. It was like, even when it happened, I was kind of like, there was like, it felt like an out of body experience. Like, there was a part of me that was like, man, this is crazy, but I don't feel like any of this is real, or I don't feel the weight of any of this.
Because, like, why do we? I mean, we know that the president. We generally know that the president has nuclear launch codes. You know, that's just a thing that we know as American citizens. But like, why is it that the way that this information comes out is when new people are being elected, are being given the presidency throughout this movie, we're seeing them handed a nuclear launch codes device instead of like something like, immediately, like, we got to make sure they stay away from the president because of the nuclear launch codes. Like, even if they would have just brought it in earlier, it becomes a part of the movie more than like it felt. To me, it feels like every major thing that we're supposed to be tracking is just kind of generally told to us at a time that they want us to be thinking about it instead of it feeling like it's organic in the movie. Does that make sense?
Right. It makes a lot of sense because. I'm pretty sure, like, some terrorists getting their hands on nuclear weapons is the plot of at least one Mission Impossible movie, right?
Yeah, most movies like this. Yeah,
you know, there are a lot of films like this, like the Sum of All, I don't know. There are a lot of films like this where you feel that danger, like the Mission Impossible, like that. I forgot which Mission Impossible movie it was, but it was like that felt huge, and this. Did not, because one, we didn't realize it was happening until much later in the film, but also it didn't feel realistic. Like, okay, even this scene where they're like, we need the president, and he comes in and he's like, you have to do this or I'll shoot this little girl, right? And then he's like, I can't do it. And then there's the distraction, there's the fight or whatever. And then he winds up just grabbing the president and forcing his hand on the thing. And I was like, okay. So if that's the thing that you needed this entire time, why were you even bothering asking him to do this? What is happening? You do not need his permission. Knock him out and take his hand and put it on the nuclear football. What is this fake back and forth that you're doing with the of course, the president of the United States is not going to agree to do this. What are we doing here?
Also, did he still have the power? Because technically, he wasn't the president.
That's it. And he said that. He said, he was like, I don't have it. And then he was like, don't worry about it. Meaning,
don't worry about that because the guy was hacking. Blah, blah, blah. No, it was, yeah. It wasn't. Oh, you're right. It was that because he had the new codes. Right. Okay.
Yeah. But I guess still needed somebody there with access. And so maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe
man.
Access
well, yes,
doesn't expire. You know?
No, it's because the nuclear foot. You can have the nuclear codes, but you need the nuclear football, and that was in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's the suitcase that actually is able to do it. But So yeah, anyway, and then I mean the Jamie Foxx stuff itself was just boring to me. I just wish he was cooler. Like I'm glad we got the limousine scene was by far the best scene in the movie, but we don't get this that much in the movie. We get that and maybe the kitchen scene, and that's kind of it.
I mean, you know, we get the jokes. We get the, like, I don't smoke jokes. And we get the, like, he's in Jordans. And it just felt very, like, it felt like Jamie Foxx got the script and was like, well, y'all need to, well, we got to do the, like, these were jokes that he was like, we got to make sure we at least talk about this, you know? And, it just, and he, you know, one of his jokes was like, I'll do whatever you do. And then Channing jumps across the elevator shaft. Well, I ain't doing that shit. You know, and then the scene ends. It was like, I don't know. Just all that stuff felt forced to me. Felt like forced humor.
Yeah. I felt like they used Jamie Foxx. They were like, well, we got to have a black president. Okay. Here's a film in which we'll take the president of the United States and because he's black, we'll make him so insignificant. I'm like, why couldn't this be Air Force One? I don't know, man. I was just mad at it. Yeah. Like, I understand.
It could have been Air Force One.
And I think it pisses me off that both of these movies are done at the same time. They both have black presidents, and both the black presidents are not that big in the movie. And I just don't feel like that would have been the case if they were white actors.
Agreed.
No, because you could have done, like, if it's the same... If it's Bill Pullman's character in Independence Day and we decide to make this character the lead, you know, his whole thing was like, I'm an Air Force pilot. I'm going to fly. You know, this guy would have been ex-military and now he's president and he would have been exercising those skills the whole movie. You know, like it would have been Die Hard, but with the president instead of with the president's secret service, instead of with a guy who wishes he was in the president's secret service, which also feels like just such a very movie premise. But you know what I mean? Like it would have been that. It would have been like the president getting his hands dirty, you know?
It's Bill Pullman Independence Day is such a great point because it's like you can have a kind of big cast film and still give the president big moments. Bill Pullman's speech is like one of the most famous scenes. Like he gets to fly and like he's one of, you know what I mean? It was just like we give him hero moments.
And there's something that he's trying to overcome something. You know, they see him as it's sort of in the same way.
He's a military president too.
But they see him as like the young, you know, guy who we can't take seriously. Yeah. And he rises up and saves the entire day, you know. Oh, well, very close to it. Almost saves the day,
right?
And then you know, and honors.
But it's clearly a great leader, and like,
yeah.
Can you say that Jamie Foxx's president in this movie feels like a great leader?
No,
I mean he don't have to do anything.
He doesn't even get. Yeah. It would have been, you know, they needed to catch. My man in a lie at the end, whose name I keep forgetting. But
yeah, and Channing Tatum is the one who figures it out.
Exactly. That could have been this is the whole last act, act three, maybe even some of act two, honestly. But act three of this movie is where I feel like it went wrong in terms of Jamie. Like he should have been doing more. He was knocked out at least twice.
He's shot. We think he's dead.
And was just not in scenes. Yeah, shot. We think he's dead. And just not in scenes for no reason other than like to give Channing something to do. And that I think it's just like, no, like find something for both of them. Like let them both be doing something or don't do it or let Channing's knee get hurt or something. Like, I mean,
that's what happens in Olympus Has Fallen. Like literally like Aaron Eckhart gets guns. Like he gets a gun and has to like do some shit. Also, there are two different types. Like, that's a military president. Whereas in this movie, Jamie is just, I guess, a regular politician who becomes president. So
Oh, that's right. Aaron Eckhart is the president in the first. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. See, this is what I'm talking about, man. This is ridiculous.
And he does. And he fights. Like, he's no pushover.
Oh, and then Morgan Freeman gets elected in the second one? Or is Morgan in all?
I think Morgan Freeman. I don't think Morgan Freeman is ever the president. No,
is he the president? Angel Has Fallen.
I gotta check. Because I don't think he's the president at all.
I thought he was the president the whole time. But I guess he wouldn't have been the president in all three movies because of timing. You know, presidents only have two terms. They don't stay for longer than two terms. At the end of their second term, they stop obeying the rule of law and walk away from their position. They don't look for loopholes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Morgan Freeman's the president in the third movie.
Okay, okay, great.
In the third movie, Morgan Freeman's the president.
Okay.
But you're right. Yeah. So the...
Oh, okay. And he's some other position in the other two movies. Because he's in all of them, right?
Yeah. He's the Speaker of the House, I guess, and then the Vice President, and then becomes the President. The end of this movie is so stupid. Oh, my God.
I texted Matt at the end of the movie, just finished, this is the dumbest movie I've ever seen. Because it really feels so dumb. It just feels so dumb. It's like a dumb... And in a fun way, but like
it could have been so much more fun.
But it could have been more fun. It really could have been more fun, and just knowing the other things that Roland has done, and James, frankly, not James Vanderbeek. What's his name? What's the writer's name?
Channing Tatum.
James what? Oh, Vanderbilt.
James Vanderbilt. Oh. His stuff is fun too, and so it's like we could have had more fun here. I think. I could have just in general had more fun here. That's it.
All right. Well, so we rate and review films not based on how much we like it, but whether or not they help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film has fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the right count of three, we'll raise it up for this film, White House Down. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Think so.
One, two, three. All right, two white palms and nothing. I should have gave it nothing.
I gave it nothing because
I should have gave it nothing.
Jamie was already Jamie. If anything, this movie You're made right. Jamie not cool. And like Jamie is one of the coolest. Why would you? Why would you have? Why would you have Jamie Foxx in a movie? And we got to admit, Jamie Foxx is funny. Jamie Foxx is handsome. Jamie Foxx is dramatic. Jamie Foxx can sing.
You're right. I rescind my palm. I rescind
And you
it.
Made him the corniest. And not only did you make him back. Corny, but you gave him one line that was so fucking stereotypical that he talks about his Jordans. Out of everything this nigga could talk about, he gonna talk about his Jordans. The Jordans, they ain't the cement.
So
he wasn't wearing the cement.
I rolled my eyes.
He wasn't wearing the Space Jams. He wasn't wearing the ones. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't even wearing like one of the...
the specificity.
It just felt like they sent the PA out and get a pair of Jordans in the size 11 so we can get this nigga that line. Because niggas love Jordans. You know somebody said it like that. They didn't say it to Jamie, but that's what they said. That's what they said. This is a black president. He got to wear Jordans. Nigga.
All right, I rescind it. No.
Like,
no
why?
Nothing.
Where was it?
This movie gets like, nothing. Because he ain't even, and he also ain't even right. lead. He ain't the lead of the movie, so there's
he's
no
not.
Even lead black actor in this movie. And the other black characters.
And it doesn't help Jamie.
Lance is doing his thing.
No, it doesn't help him.
Lance is doing his thing. I feel like
he
Lance
is doing his thing.
Get to,
he feels like a general.
Yeah, and he has some fun lines and some fun moments. I actually think he does have some good moments.
I love Lance in this movie.
But I think he's in Olympus Has Fallen too.
That's crazy.
Oh, he's in both of them?
Oh, wait, let me see.
Yeah, that is absurd. You can't be in both.
Yeah, they had to have filmed these at the same time.
You can't be in both. That's not even allowed. We got to AI this if it's not.
I liked Lance. But yeah, also... Maggie Gyllenhaal.
But no leads.
Oh, no, he's not.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't like to shit on nobody's acting, but he was like, just tell me how much time I have. And she was like, you have 8 minutes. Why did she say it that slowly? My man had
Bro,
8 minutes and 20 seconds.
It truly felt like she was sleepwalking through this movie. It truly felt like she was like, why am I here? I can't believe I agreed to do this.
She was like, I was in the dark.
I was in the dark night. I don't need this.
Lance Reddick is in the third one. Angel Has Fallen.
That's ridiculous. Incredible. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's incredible.
I think I've actually seen that one, so maybe I knew that already.
I don't think I've
seen, and that may be the only one I've
Jada
seen.
Jada Pickett is also in that one too.
Oh, amazing. I'm gonna
What is pretty stacked.
This makes me want to go and watch these movies. I'm pretty sure I've seen Olympus Has Fallen and I liked it, but I should go.
Oh, Tom Blake Nelson? This is the third one.
We'll watch the other ones. People. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm also gonna give it I raise up a palm, but I don't even know why. It doesn't deserve a palm.
I gave it a palm. I was thinking about Jamie, but you're right. I mean, no, I'm getting rid of it. Delete.
Yeah.
Taking that palm away.
No, Gerard's right.
Is that me? It's the system.
This movie is frustrating. This movie used a famous black actor, just completely used him, didn't give him anything good. If anything, there were slightly racist undertones that were happening. They made him corny.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get to fight that much. He got one part, and that was pretty much it, which was... I hate. And this movie bombed because it's not good. And it didn't say anything. It just like it could have made political statements, it could have made racial statements, it could have been talking about how much the news media cares about money. It could have been talking about, you know, like America's belief that it is, you know, completely and utterly safe from external forces, and that we like it's overconfident and cocky, and its cockiness is will be its downfall. I mean, I don't just so many
and
stuff.
You absolutely have to talk about the fact that this is a black president. Now, look, there's a lot of stuff coming up, particularly this week and over the last several years, about like wokeness and about how things are. You know, we're maybe spending too much time on our differences and the rhetoric and stuff surrounding that. But
and that's happened.
I think a big problem that America has and is continuing to have, especially if that rumor that Biden drops out and Kamala's president for like 2 months or whatever. Is actually true, especially if that rumor ends up being true.
That would be
hilarious. The big problem that America has, particularly American Democrats have, is like this idea of things looking like they're fine.
Right.
So like in these movies where we have a black president, Deep Impact even, it's just like we're treating this guy like a normal. This is our president and it's normal. First of all, no, it's not. This man is black and it means something that this man is black and holding this office. It means something. It you cannot act like it doesn't mean something, because we had one really quickly after the civil rights movement, and a lot of people were not okay with that, and it is becoming painfully obvious with each passing day. So we can't act like these things are just that's the man who was elected, and they don't believe in him because he's a little soft or he's a little too kind on the Middle East. No, he's black, and everybody else we're looking at is white, and they feel, and everybody feels some type of way about that. The non-racist people feel some type of way about it, and the racist people feel some. Everybody feels some type of way about the fact that this man is black, and it is never addressed, with the exception of a couple jokes that all fall flat. So, and maybe this like ire that's coming out has a lot to do with where we currently are in the state of the United States right now. But like you can't, you gotta, that is a thing. It's maybe not necessarily a statement that the movie has to have, but like you gotta talk about it because it's real. It's real and it's there and it's in our face and we have to deal with it.
100%.
Movie sucks. I don't know, but it just sucks, bro. It's like, it just sucks. Like, it does. I ain't trying to be a dick about it. It's like, this movie just sucks. Like,
no, but here was my thing. The whole time I was watching the movie, I was like, okay, everyone needs like you need like access codes or you need like affirmations. And I just thought that at any point somebody could have been like, we need this man's John Hancock. And then at that moment, Hancock bursts through the top
what
of the White
doing,
House
James?
Door.
And honestly, then James, punch, James, what are you doing, James?
One of the terrorists and he's like, welcome to Earth.
Scholar,
and he's like, and
Scholar,
that connects.
Then
he looks at the camera and he goes, that
Scholar,
connects.
Cut the mic.
When I was in a movie directed
Scholar,
by this guy before.
Cut the mic.
All right. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. Find links to our merchandise, but more importantly, our Patreon and Red Circle. $5 a month, you get exclusive episodes. We release them every other week. We just reviewed The Gutter, which is a film that you can purchase on to rent on Amazon or YouTube or wherever you get your DVODs. And what else is there to say? You guys like improv? I'm on a Harold team called This Is She. In Los Angeles, California. Upright Citizens Brigade.
Y'all like improv? I got some improv.
The most defeated plug of all time.
Y'all know improv. I got it. You know what I mean? I want that.
I think this comes out this week. And if it does come out this week, please, please, please. So apparently it's just the first half of our season. We wrote like 40 episodes. A Fairly Odd Parent, 40 11-minute episodes of Fairly Odd Parents. The first half is being released on Netflix on November 14th. Please, there's no job security. The state of the world is very uncertain right now. If we got our season two, that would just be great for me because it's probably my only shot at any employment for the foreseeable. Okay, so if everybody can just turn it on and let at least one episode play, I'm sure that's going to do wonders. It'd be better if more episodes played. Will certainly be better if more episodes played.
Of course.
But if everybody listening to this turns it on, lets it play in the background, let's just run the numbers because I would, there's still a chance for a season two. And I would just appreciate that as an opportunity to continue to make money in this uncertain economy. Bless you.
That's real.
All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.